Well, again, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for having us. And we really enjoy every time we're able to come here. If you have your Bibles with me, turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. And the message I want to bring to you is entitled, Love Can Lead to Sin. And what I want to look at today is that there are all kinds of love in today's world. And society says that love is love is love, and we are not to question it. But what we're going to look at today, and hopefully what I'd like to show you a few things about, there's different kinds. There is the love that God approves, but there are certain loves that He does not approve of. And we need to submit ourselves, and we need to live the way God wants us to live. In 1 John chapter 2, very familiar, I want to read and start in verse 15. Love not the world. Okay, time out, stop. Wait. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Sadly, for some people, that's their Bible, is John 3:16. And it's a fair question. Love not the world. Why would God say, I love the world, and tell us not to love the world? Because there's two different worlds. There might be three. There's different kinds of worlds. Let's find out. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Isn't it funny that pride is a sin? Interesting. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's the difference. There's two kind of worlds. There's God's world, there's society's world. There's modern day world, there's today's world. God's world never changes. God's word never changes. His laws, His statutes never ever change. His knowledge, His wisdom, His teachings have never changed. But society says, well, you got to change with the times. You got to progress. You got to grow. You got to take all that's done away with. Where it's 2025. I've even heard marriage is outdated. We don't need it anymore. Just cohabitate. Just hang out, because hey, you never know. Hey, you might not like him in 5 years. You might not like her in 5 years. Why go through the pain of all that wedding stuff and go through the pain of all that divorce? Let's just cohabitate and let's see how it works out. And that's what the world says. And there's a lot of other things that the world tells us is okay. But our Heavenly Father says, no, I don't like that. And what I want to show today is that we have to understand who our God is and how He sees us and how He sees this world. And even though we're in it, we're not of it. If you will, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. And I just want to read verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but by the transforming, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's the difference. There are certain things that God created in this world that we are to love, that we are to cherish, that we are to obey. But there's certain things that are not of Him. Ever since the fall, there's things that we don't do. And there's things that have happened that is not in line with His word. To show that, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and bone, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. To prove that, if you will, I'm going to go real quick and go to Matthew 28, and I want to make a point. Matthew chapter 28, he said, now that we're not, this is another world he's talking about. Matthew 28, I just want to read verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, okay, in the name of Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Here's the crux of my message today, and I think this is something that most people struggle with, and even we still struggle with this today. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If you don't serve Him, you serve the God of me, myself, and I. That's the battle. It's not flesh and bone, it's principality. It's the battle for your mind. Who do you serve? And we're going to see today, if you serve the God of me, myself, and I, you're going to have problems. This is what this is the God the world wants my granddaughter Ella to serve. You decide what's right or wrong. You decide what you want to do. You decide how you want to live. And whatever you decide, you are right. And that's not true. We are to submit ourselves. I'll say it this way. Every time you read a Bible verse or a Bible story, it's either amen or ouch. For instance, I remember 39 years ago, the first time Jerry Wickey said, let's turn to Matthew 15 and read verse 24. And he answered and said unto them, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I said, ouch, that hurts. Now, here's the difference. When you say amen, you strengthen your faith. When you say ouch, you grow your faith by submitting to what the Bible just told you, a verse I've never read before. And when I first read that verse and many thousands others, ouch, that hurts. But now I say amen. Every time I hear amen, because I've grown and I've strengthened myself in God's word. And we have to have that. Do you love ouch? Do you love it? Do you love... See, the Bible... There's around 31,000 verses in the Bible. The Bible, every verse is a piece of a puzzle, and we're trying to put this big puzzle with 31,000 pieces. And what we struggle with, and I mean today, is that we take a puzzle piece to put in this puzzle, and it doesn't fit because we don't like it. So we take a pair of scissors and we cut it out. We cut things off to make it fit, or we take glue and we add pieces to make our map, our puzzle. And we won't submit to God's ways and to God's verses and what He says. And it takes a strong person to do that. And I'm telling you, we still struggle with that today. I'm my biggest problem. I still struggle with things. There's things I don't understand. There's things I can't put together just yet. But I'm growing and learning and processing. And that's why you love to go to church. That's why you love to spend time. You want that ouch. It's a growth that makes you strong. To show you that, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Very familiar. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Is that a good thing to be lukewarm? Is it a good thing to be cold? Three categories, two of them are not good. Drop down to verse 20. Jesus is speaking, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and will sup with him and he with me. Don't you like the fact that Jesus is polite? That he knocks. He doesn't kick the door down. He doesn't use force to try to persuade you. He's very kind. I got a question for all the ladies in the room. Ladies only. You ever, when you were younger, when you were single, if you're married, you ever been pursued by a guy that wasn't Chris Hemsworth? Wasn't Henry Cavill? You know, he just... What's it feel like when someone pursues you that you don't want? They won't go away? Jesus is the same way. He will not pursue you if you don't want him. He knocks. You have to open the door and let him in. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He hath has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'm going to say it this way, and bear with me. It's about 12:35. When the service is over, we might go out to eat. Everybody's going to go home today. And let's just say, bear with me, at 7:05, everybody here, you hear a knock at the door. And you go and you open the door, and there's a man or woman that you don't know, a perfect stranger. You don't know their name. You don't know their background. You know nothing about him. You've never seen him before. And you kind of, and you say, sir or ma'am, can I help you? And this person says, yeah, I want to live with you. I want you to let me in your house. I want you to give me a room. I'm not going to pay any rent. I want you to feed me. I'm not going to buy groceries. I want you to entertain me. I want you to give me a place to stay. And I'm going to stay there as long as I want. How many of you would let this person into your home and do it? And you know nothing about, you don't, he could be a murderer. He could be a bank robber. He could be, you know nothing about him. Would you let him in? Okay. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Let's say it is, Jesus opens a door and he looks. I don't know you. Who are you? And you say, whatever you say, and Jesus says, I'm sorry. And he shuts the door. He just said, I knock. If you don't open the door for him, why should he open the door for you? Are you going to meet him as a stranger? Or is he going to open the door and say, Jim, hey, welcome. I have been waiting for you. I know you. Don, Debbie, Sarah, I know. Hey, come in. Guess what? Your room's ready. It's not going to cost you a thing because my son paid the price for you. Now, if you wouldn't let a stranger in your house, is Jesus going to let you in if he doesn't know you? And you rejected him? And you didn't submit? This is serious. Everybody knows Luke 7, Matthew 13. When they shut the doors closed and they knock, let me in, let me in. He said, I don't know you, depart from me. He's just like us. Why would you let a stranger in your house who you know nothing about their grave? But I know you. Yeah, you made a few mistakes along the way, but my son paid the price for it. Come in. Let me hug you. And we're going to have a meal. We're going to fellowship forever. But what if he doesn't know you? Why would he let you in? Would you do it to a stranger? That's the crux. That's it. You're either in or out. Depart from me. I never knew you. But he tried. He knocked, but you didn't let him in. I don't want nothing to do. I Me, myself, and I, that I'm important. I do what I want to do. You ain't going, no church going to tell me how to live my life. Yeah, good, stay home. Stay home. Jesus didn't kick the door down. He doesn't force you. That's not love. Susan didn't have to say, I do. But she did. And now look where we are. You have to have that. Well, we are called his bride. Israel was his firstborn. And he has that mansion for you. But if you don't let him in your life, he will not let you in his father's house. Okay, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4, because here's the problem. Again, the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Question. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But God so loved the world. Different world. Well, God loves everybody. No, he doesn't. Jesus died for everybody. No, he didn't. I used to believe that. I don't believe it anymore. Because of the ouches that made me grow and mature to strengthen my faith. I've said it. Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And he never lied. The evil ones and evil people control this modern day world. Because love can be perverted. Just because you love something, that doesn't mean it's of God. I'm going to give you a very simple, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to play with you a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Okay, now, when little kids are going to grade school, if a little kid is in the third grade, 3 plus 6 is 9. Whatever grade you're in, I add 6 years to it. If you're in the 10th grade, you're 16. So here's we got a 4th grade boy and girl sitting right here. They're 10 years old, and I'm going to read this to them. And I want you to tell me if they can comprehend what I'm about to read. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, do you think those 10-year-old, those two kids would understand this? It's pretty simplistic, isn't it? Adam and Eve, marriage, husbands, this is what I want you to do. Wives, this is what I want you to do. Pretty simple, isn't it? I think those 10-year-olds understand it. Now, I'm going to reread it. And I'm going to read something, and I hope you see what I'm going to read. Verse 22, wives, submit yourself to your own wife as unto the Lord. Husband, for the wife is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 25, husbands, love your husbands, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself to it. That's the world. That's the world's view of what I just read. How many churches celebrate same-sex wives marrying women, husband, men marrying men? A 10-year-old knows they're wrong. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to say this, and if you're listening to this at home, this is going to be PG-13, because I saw something a few months ago. And I watched a YouTube of a guy, his name is Frank, I don't remember his last name, but he goes to colleges and gives a presentation. He's a Bible, he's a religious man. And he has a microphone and he has Q&A. all he says when you come up, what's your name? And I want to share this with you. Because what I like to do when I watch is I pretend that they're asking me, how would I answer this question to test my knowledge and strength and my understanding of the Bible? Well, this young man walked up and he said, my name is Fred. Hi, Fred. What's your question? He goes, first off, you need to know I'm a gay Christian. And I have a boy that I've loved for a year and a half. And in 2 months, we're going to get married. And I want to know, why do you think it would be wrong for God to not bless our union? What say you? Now, I don't remember what he said, but I'm going to tell you what I would have said to him at that very moment. This is exactly what I would have done. And he was very proud. And he got an ovation from the audience. These are college kids, not high. These are college kids. And he got a lot of applauses. I said, okay, Fred, let me ask you something. You say you have a boyfriend for a year and a half, and in 2 months you're going to be husband and husband, correct? Yes. Okay. Will you be sexually active with your husband, and will he be sexually active with you? Do you know what sodomy is? Because my understanding is that two gay men, that's how they enjoy each other. Because my Bible says that God made them male and female, and he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. You can only do that with a male and a female. God provided a way that me and Susan have Laura and David. But let me ask you something, Fred. If you ejaculate in the rectum of your husband, will he get pregnant? And then when you're done with him and he's doing you, and you ejaculate in his rectum, will your boyfriend get pregnant and have a family? How dare you say that's of God? That's disgusting. Because that's what you do, don't you? That's exactly what you do. And that's disgusting. How could two women be together and produce a child? It's impossible. It's not of God. It's of this world. That's the world that God said, I don't love that world. This is the lust that I don't approve of. This is a family I don't approve of. How many churches today celebrate same-sex marriage? I don't think I'll be here in 40 years. In 40 years, will there be more churches that celebrate same-sex marriage, or will there be less? I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I think it's going to grow. Now, I will say this. There are some marriages between a man and a woman that God does not approve of. Remember in Genesis 24, Abraham told his head servant, come here, put your hand in my thigh by my private area. I want you to swear to me, do not let Isaac marry of the Canaanites. You take him to the brethren and you make sure he marries someone of the brethren. So are there marriages between men and women God does not approve of? Yes. Yes. He does not approve of miscegenation. He does not approve of that. Because the offspring, the Bible calls a mongrel, a mamzer. It's the sin that brought on Noah's flood. It's a sin that's going to bring his return. He didn't like it then. He doesn't like it now. Now, I don't watch a lot of TV. I watch a little bit, I got to be honest. Have you seen a commercial? Every commercial has a multiracial man, woman, and they're ungodly mongrel kids. Now, who's promoting this? The God of me, myself, and I. Right? Who owns the airways? Who owns the newspaper? Who owns the TV? What movie have they made or TV show that glorifies marriage? Father Knows Best? Ward and June Cleaver? That's what I grew up with. Oh, that's outdated. Sadly, you're right. Sadly, you're right. It does not say wives submit to your wife or husbands submit to your husband. That's blasphemy. And I'm just telling you, in my opinion, there's a wide road, there's a narrow road, and any church that supports interracial marriage, same-sex marriage, is on the wide road that leads to death and destruction. And it's painful to get off of that to come onto the narrow. It is. It really is. Let's be honest. But those ouches is what made you strong. To the book, let's go now. Turn to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I want to start in verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Well, if God loves the world, and why are we supposed to overcome this world? Shouldn't we love it like God said he did in John 3:16? Overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Question. That's what you overcome. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Not me, myself, and I. Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, but not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. It's not me, myself, and I. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You have to have that to overcome. If you're not strong with that, this world will devour you. This world will embrace you. This world will traumatize. This world will get a hold of you, and it will not let go. If you send your kid, like Walt said, to the public school system, they've got them 40 hours a week. You think 2 hours at church is going to change that? That indoctrination that our kids are going through in the public school system? My God, you got boys playing on girls' sports, for heaven's sake. You've got men in the girls' locker room. How come you don't hear of women going into men's locker room? Because most women are late. That's disgusting. But we protect these perverts who want to play peekaboo with my daughter, my granddaughter. And they protect them. Shame on us. Shame on us. I saw a video where a guy said, if that guy goes in there, he says, I'll be in there. I will find him. I'm either going to jail or that guy's going to the hospital. This is at a school board. Loved it. Man after my own heart. He said, you keep that pervert away from my daughter or I will. If you don't take care of him, I will. Of course, they escorted him out with police because he can't threaten that pervert. The world loves the perverts, don't they? God hates them. Now, come out of it. We just read, overcome. Yes, yes, we all have temptations. We all have things we have to overcome. I'm not trying to pick on them. I've said it many, many times. We're going to read it a little later. All you straight men and women who are cohabitating outside of marriage, and you want to point fingers at the gays and lesbians. If you're fornicating and you're living outside of that, you're going to burn and you're going to be right next to him. Because when you knock, he's not going to let you in. I told you I didn't like that. But the world says, it's okay. Do whatever you want. Do as thou wilt. Remember him? Let's stay in 1 John, go to chapter 4. Here's a trial, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's false prophets, there's good prophets in the same world. God says, I love this world, I don't like this world. You on my team or their team? Verse 2. Know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, And even now, already, it is in the world. There we go again, a different world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Truth, error. Truth, error. Truth, lie. Truth, lie. What's the truth? Husband, love your wives. What's a lie? Husband, love your husband. Even I know that. It's so simple. These 10th grade kids know it's wrong. But they get browbeaten and say, it's okay, you can do whatever you want. Because if you love the things that are not of God, you produce wicked, evil fruit. And we're to be fruit inspectors. We just read it. Believe not every spirit. Believe not every preacher. Believe not every pastor, every congregation. Everything you see on CNN. Don't believe them. Try. If it doesn't stand up to this, throw it away. Don't do it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I think this is one of the biggest problems we have in America. It's just two simple verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, even in heaven or in earth, as there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all are all things, and we by him. There are churches many. There are denominations many. There are gods many. There are lords many. Nothing's changed. Cincinnati is called the Queen City, correct? Fort Wayne is called the City of Churches. One on every corner. Many gods to choose from. Many lords to choose from. It's your choice. Who do you serve? Who do you believe in? Who do you have your faith in? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One. One, one, one. There's not even two. Because if you got two, you might as well have 2,000. Well, I think Jesus was a good man. How can he be a good man and the biggest liar in the history of mankind? I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Who knocked at the door earlier? God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? Jesus knocks. He's the one that died on the cross. That's who you have to... He paid the price. That's who we have. There's only one of them. There's not even two. Well, Brian, I think there are saved people in all churches. And I come back, okay, how many gods are there? See, truth scares people, especially when you say there's only one. Because they want to be comfortable. Well, tell you what, I know you're a Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, blah, 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 Mormon. Look, they're all nice and friendly. You know, let's not make fun. Hey, let's tell you what, I'm good, you're good. We're all going to make it. We just have different paths to God. You've all heard that one. There are many paths to God. They all go to the same God. Hate to bring it up again, but I saw a YouTube where this gay, lesbian people said, we both serve the same God. No, we don't. No, we don't. I don't serve your God. That's blasphemy. Turn to the book of John, chapter 15. Here's a warning that our Savior gave us. John 15, chapter 15, beginning in verse 17. These things I command that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hate you. There's the two worlds. Love not the world, for God so loved the world. Now do you see the difference? His Son, our Savior, said, they hated me. They're going to hate you if you walk in me. How many times when people, if they try to say the word Jesus, they get bleated? Why only Jesus? You can mention all the other religions and all the other gods and you won't get a mute button pushed. But they do if you try to mention Jesus. Why is that? Why do they hate him so much? All these rock stars who blaspheme with blood and all these ungodliness. And you know it's Jesus. Remember the Olympics, supposed to be the supper thing? Remember that? Why didn't they do that to the Muslims, Hindu? Why all the other religions get a free pass except Christianity and Jesus? Why is that? He warned us. He warned us. This world will hate you if you're Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Turn to the book of John, chapter 17. Stay in John. Just turn over to verse chapter 17, please. Yeah, in verse 14, Jesus is speaking. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto this world, unto the world, even so have I also sent them unto the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. This is the world we want. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He told us, if God so loved the world, why did they hate his Son? Why will they hate us if we speak of his Son? Now, there is a Jesus that everybody loves, the universal God and the universal Jesus. Not the covenant God, not the covenant Jesus, not the covenant Spirit. That's offensive to people today in today's world. To show that, please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Very familiar. Here's what happens in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's me, myself, and I. Has replaced Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The creation is more important than the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women didn't change the natural use that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, which is a mind void of judgment. They don't know right from wrong or nothing, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I can't add nothing to that, except this one little thing. Yeah, but Brian, I'm a Christian fornicator. I am a Christian covetouser. I am a Christian full of envy. I am a Christian murderer. I am a Christian whisperer. I am a Christian backbiter. I don't hate God, but I don't like him as much as I do me. If you put Christian in front of all these sins, does that cleanse it? Can I be a Christian thief? How about a Christian adulterer? I mean, really? One woman for 39 years? Where's the fun in that? But you understand the heartache when God told Israel, don't forsake me and serve other gods. I'm married to you. I'm your God. You're my people. Do you know the heartache, what happens to our God when his children serve other gods and lust after other gods and serve other gods, the love that's supposed to be to him? See, there's anger and pain. For instance, a few years ago, my wife and I were watching a movie about a very nice husband and wife, loving father, husband, wife, children, and sadly, he cheated on her. And that movie showed the pain and suffering of that trust that was broken. And it was gut-wrenching. And I, after the movie, we got to talking, and I said, honey, if I ever cheated on you, would you forgive me? Could we get through it? And she thought for a second, and very softly, with loving eyes and a loving voice, she said, honey, if you ever cheat on me with another woman and I find out, or you admit it to me, the question isn't whether or not I would forgive you or whether or not we would get through it. The question is, do I love Laura and David enough not to tell them how their dad died? Whoa! Okay, that's an attention getter. That's an attention getter. Okay, yeah, it was silly. What happens when God loses his children and then they serve other gods? They die. They die spiritually, physically, emotionally. God's word means nothing to them anymore. I made a promise to her, and I've been faithful. And she's been faithful to me. I hate to say, a few years ago, when I was at work, I worked a lot of overtime before I retired. And this one girl said, man, I bet your wife loves you. Man, what is she doing with all your money and all this? I said, oh, it's more than that. She said, no, I can't. Every woman out here, Brian, would love to have a man that works like you and provides like you. Amen. And I said to her, and I don't know why I did it. I said, you know what's the best thing I've given Susan? I said, tell you what. Go around the GM truck plant. I want you to go find the prettiest woman in this whole plant and bring her here. Beautiful. I mean, she could be a Bengals cheerleader. I mean, this is a 9. And bring her here. And I guarantee you, this is the best thing I've ever given her. If Susan come around that aisle and come walking towards it and saw me talking to this beautiful woman, it wouldn't bother her one bit. Because she trusts me. After we were married, this is a true story. After we were married a couple years, that Friday after Labor Day Monday means more to us than our wedding day, January 10th, 1980s, because that's the day we met. And we were talking one time, and I said, why me? And she said, well, my dad told me in Mark this. He said, but you know what, Brian, even when we met, first time I saw her, blind date, I knew within a half hour I could trust you. That, the greatest compliment she's ever given me. She trusts me. I don't want to lose it. Does God trust you? Will you not forsake him? Is he your one and only? She's my one and only. One and only. There's nobody. God's the same way. He loves us. We are His bride. It breaks His heart when we serve other gods. It kills Him. To show you, turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. This is really, really, really a sad one. Proverbs chapter 21, beginning in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorners, and their scorners, and the fools hate knowledge? Because they hate it. Ouch. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and will make known my words to you. Because I have called, Jesus knocked, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded it. But ye have set at naught at my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You didn't want to grow. You didn't want to learn. You didn't want an ouch. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer you. I don't care about you no more. Brian, where was God in the California fires? Where was God in the earthquake? Where was God in the typhoon? He's right here. Does the state of California glorify God? Now, I don't understand why certain things happen. What did he just say? You going to mock me, ignore me, and then now you want me to save you? No. I will not answer you. Will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord or respect. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a promise. Is God a liar? If you forsake me, you're on your own. Don't come crying to me when things... I tried to give you my proof. I tried to give you my word. I tried to help you. I tried to raise you. Cut. Because you're my children. We did our best to raise Laura and David. Laura's going to do her best to raise my little granddaughter, Ella. Perfect? No. Oh, heavens, no. But we're going to do our best to raise them. Especially in God's Word. We had Wednesday night Bible study for 10 years while they were growing up. And I gave them this world. Okay, now it's up to them whether or not they want to accept it or not. They're of age. It's up to them. But if this nation, is the hedge of protection around the United States as strong as it was in 1955 as it is in 2025? I don't think so. Because as a nation, we've turned our back. To examine that, to show you that, turn to Psalm 7, one short, strong verse. Verse 8, The Lord shall judge the people, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wicked of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. You don't get a day off from being wicked. Now, when you sin and you confess and you get back and the blood cleanses you and washes you, that's one thing. But the wicked love their wickedness, and they will not repent. They will not change. But God judges every single moment of every day. You're either in His righteousness or you're in His unrighteousness. You're either with Him or you're against Him. The choice is yours. To just show that that hasn't changed, from the book of Romans chapter 1. Well, that thing in the Proverbs was Old Testament, Brian. I'm a New Testament Christian. Good. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Did I already read this? I am so sorry. I just noticed. I already read that. I am so sorry. I forgot to cross it off.
It didn't hurt us a bit.
No. But what I wanted, see, I wanted to read the Proverbs first to show that he didn't like it then. He doesn't like it in the new. Romans, this is after the blood, I mean the death, I mean the birth, death, and resurrection. The point I wanted to make is in Proverbs, he said the same thing he's saying here. So he has not changed. He will never change. He's never liked what he didn't like, and he loves what he loves. One last verse. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, last reading. And I want to read verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any add a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And what would a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here's another world. See, I hope we saw the two differences in the two worlds. If you love this world and you let become a worldly Christian and a worldly person, God's not with you no more. And we have a destiny. You have a destiny. When you come and knock on the door of the kingdom, and Jesus will open it, he's either going to meet you as friend or judge. Depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant. Your destiny is your choice. Thank you. May the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you.